looking at the Bible again, Acts chapter 20. And I'll read the 17 through 27. And we'll probably look at those last three verses that I read, which will be 27, 28, and 29. Acts 20, verse 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus. You know, he passed by Ephesus in his voyage here. He said that in verse number 16. Paul determined to sail by Ephesus, but he had some business to do with him. He wanted to stop at Miletus, and he's not a very far piece from Ephesus down to Miletus there, so he sent for the elders. In verse 17, the elders of the church that had been established there. And when they were come to him, he said to them, "Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all, with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews." Always, always. Hounded by those unbelievers. Those detesters of the gospel. Always around, ain't they? Always around. And they still with us. It's always a crop of them. "And now I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." Boy, that's a good preacher right there. Kept back nothing that was profitable. You know, that's a thorough exposition of the Word of God, what he's talking about there. Don't leave nothing out. Just preach it all. Go on with it. I had folks over the years say, "Preacher Worthing, Pastor, I wish you'd deal with this here and deal with that." You know, certain issues that they want to deal with. I said, "Be patient. Be patient. After a while, I'll probably get to it. It'll come up." If you stay with the Word of God, if you preach consistently through the Bible. And Paul did that. Kept back nothing that was profitable to them. But have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's profitable. Preaching repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, that's very profitable. And you can stay there a while. And everybody needs to hear that. And so you need to, it would not hurt to just be repetitious with it. Just preach it. Go on, preach it over and over. Can't never preach enough of it. Can't preach it to death, that's for sure. Look how many folks, look how many folks who sit for years in the church and never heard the biblical doctrine of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Never heard it. I'm talking about the doctrine of it. The consistent teaching of it from the Word of the Lord. Shame, isn't it? This is vital here. You can't get there without this right here. Just can't do it. "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit." That's his spirit. My spirit's bound up. I'm bound and determined, he's saying here, to go to Jerusalem. And not knowing, I don't know what's going to happen when I get there, but I've got to go. I've got a burden. I've got to get there. "He said that the Holy Ghost also, the Holy Ghost done witnessed to me in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me." I know that. It's going to be trouble wherever I go. It's going to be trouble. That discouraged a lot of folks, wouldn't it? That would. That discouraging folks from going. Yeah. He said, but None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Oh, that was his mission. That was his burden wherever he went. To testify, to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. That kept him free from the blood of men. Not that he went from house to house and buttonholed everybody in Ephesus that he could get his hands on. But wherever he had opportunity to preach, wherever he had the public or house to house opportunity to testify, he preached what was necessary for sinners to know God and to come to Christ. He said, I'll take you to record on that. You know that. And then he goes on. Verse 28, take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. God purchased the church with his own blood. All right. Let's look at this for a little while. Declaring the counsel of God. That's our title, Jason. Declaring the counsel of God. Notice first of all here, the subject of his attention. The subject of his attention. There's two things I'm going to give you. The counsel of God. The counsel of God. Not in part, but the whole, he said. Yeah, he declared all the counsel of God. All that was necessary concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for the saving of sinners. They were saved because Paul was faithful to declare unto them all that was necessary to come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to turn from their sins and from their idols and lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it, folks. That's all that's necessary. To be diligent. As diligent as possible for a man of God to make sure he declares all that is necessary for a sinner to know his state before God and know that he must turn from his sins, turn from his idols, and lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners. God help us each one to search our hearts. Look deeply. Have we done that? Have we done that? I think I can testify with Paul. I believe I've done the best I possibly can to declare unto you all the counsel of God to get you to Christ. I believe I've done that. If I miss, you tell me. The word counsel here generally signifies advice, don't it? And counselors, you know, you have these personal counselors that people come to them, won't know about this, won't know about that, won't know what to do, should do about this and the other. And they're supposed to have an answer for them. Give them some good advice. They study to be advice givers. You know what? They do. Preachers have gone into business for this. Years now, they've been in the business of being counselors. Offices always open. People got troubles. Don't know where to do this, that, the other. The preacher's supposed to be. He's been to school. Matter of fact, they tell me that most of these seminaries for the last 40, 50 years have just been teaching personal counseling. Not preaching, but personal counseling. Teach them how to get along with a pretty good congregation and deal with various problems and issues and sort of comfort people and give them a little advice about this, that, and the other. Well, that wasn't Paul. That wasn't Paul. That wasn't what his mission was. So it generally signifies advice. But when the Bible was translated, I'm talking about what it signifies today, but it was commonly, when the Bible was translated, it signified scheme or purpose. God's scheme or purpose. The whole counsel of God is His scheme and purpose. Primarily in redemption. His scheme, we call it His scheme of redemption, or His purpose of redemption. That's what God emphasized His preachers to go for preaching. And that's what Paul's talking about. In the word of the Lord, we read this, His counsels of old are faithful and are faithfulness and truth. And that's so. Read again, my counsel shall stand. My counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. That's talking about everything God purposed and intended to do, everything He decreed from before the foundation of the world, from the very beginning. Everything He says shall stand, and I'll do it all. But here He's talking about something else, right here. Right here He's talking about what Paul wrote the Ephesians about, and they were familiar with this. That's the reason He's dealing with them on this. He wrote them about this. And He said in verse 11 of chapter 1, He said, God works. He works all things. God works, and He works all things, He said, after the counsel of His own will. Let's look at that just a minute. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 through 12. That's what He's talking about right here, and I think we need to see it from the Word of God. He's talking about His purpose, His scheme of redemption. What He intended to do before this whole world was ever made concerning the salvation of His people, the redemption of His people. You know, He did save us before the world began, didn't He? The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. He was slain for a people. He says here in Ephesians chapter 1, I'm just going to pick up down there in verse, well, let's look in verse beginning in verse number 4. Chapter 1. I get these pages to turn. According as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And some break that there. Say, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glory, the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption, here it goes, through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose, and there it is again, of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And it doesn't mean advice there, it means counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who trusted in Christ. So here it's to be taken. This is the sense in which Paul is speaking of here when he says to these elders at Ephesus, you know, I take you to record. I didn't leave nothing out. It would be profitable unto you. But I declared unto you all the counsel of God, the whole counsel of the Lord. God's purpose was to bring sin by permission into this world. That wasn't a hard thing for God to do. All He had to do was just take the reins off of our first parents, Adam and Eve. Just pull the bridle off and let them go. And they run headlong into sin. Wasn't hard at all. But I tell you what was hard. The difficult work. Might not have been hard for God, but it was difficult. As far as man is concerned, it was an impossibility. The difficult work was to redeem man from that awful fall. That was a hard thing. It was a hard thing. Man couldn't do it. Only God could do it. Man could run himself into sin, which he did. He could fall headlong into sin, make an absolute mess out of the whole human race, which he did. You don't think he did it? Just look around you today. It's a mess. Who did that? Well, God permitted it, but man did it, didn't he? But man can't get himself out of the mess. Only God. Only God. You know, I think we have imperfect views of sin. Don't you? I really do. I really do. We don't have much of a perfect view of anything. If anything. But we sure don't have good views of sin. Imperfect views of sin. And I think we have also very imperfect views of the holiness of God. These folks don't know nothing about, we don't know nothing about how holy God is. You just listen around a little bit. Some of the attitudes and some of the language is used toward the thrice holy God by men. They don't know a thing in the world about the holiness of God. How holy is God? Ineffably holy. Infinitely holy. Perfectly holy. Eternally holy. That's God. So we can't see ourselves as we are, and we can't see God as He is. How in the world man going to get himself out of such a mess as that? You can't do it. If God doesn't do it, it's not going to be done. I wonder why folk can't see that. It's blind, ain't it? It is blind. So I'm saying, therefore, we are not sufficiently aware of the difficulties of the way of salvation. The difficulties of the way of salvation. Just not sufficiently aware of it. I don't think so. I'm not. But God knows these things perfectly. And His scheme for removing them and restoring us to Himself is contained in the law, in the gospel, not the law. You got no hope in the law. The law can cursed, but he can't cure. No cure there. Why do so many folks think so? Why so many folks are hung up on the Ten Commandments, thinking that if they make a good stab at it, they're all right? Huh? The world up out here, they do. They wouldn't put them signs up in the yard if they didn't think they could do it. This is what the apostle means by the counsel of God. What he means here by the counsel of God. All right, here's the second thing. I'll finish up with this. The manner in which he announced this thing. He said, I've declared it. I've declared unto you all the counsel of God. All right, how did he do it? Well, it's clearly implied. Number one, that there is in the subject of what he's talking about here, the counsel of God, a fullness of affluence and richness. The subject. I say that there's a fullness of affluence and richness in what he's talking about here. He says all the counsel of God. That's pretty deep stuff, isn't it? That's pretty deep stuff. And that's without doubt. Fullness? Yeah. You see, though it is a whole, that's what he's talking about here, yet Paul knows it, and I'm sure he's taught them well enough that they're pretty sure of it. But he's talking about a whole, all the counsel of God, that's a whole, isn't it, of the matter. Yet Paul knew it. It was in 1,000 parts. That's the reason we just keep on preaching. That's the reason we just keep on preaching today, and it'll go on to the end of this thing here. We won't never preach it out. I've been preaching 40 some odd years now, 43, 4, 5 years. Not just here, but and listen, I hadn't preached it out yet. I hadn't preached out. Old time and say, I think it's stuff like it's an awful ignorance. Talk about sinners praying through and preachers preaching out. Oh, that's awful, isn't it? Wonder what they meant by that. Preaching out what? I had one tell me one time, Jason, a good friend of mine, still is, he's still living. He talked about preaching one day. He's kind of a part-time preacher. Run up on him and he's doing carpenter work on the side. Maybe he's preaching on the side and doing carpenter work full time. I talked to him, stopped by and talked to him, and hadn't seen you much here lately, Brother Terry. They had a little preacher's meeting at that time going on at Billerica. And I quit going up there. hadn't seen much out of you in a while. What you been doing? I said, well, I've been trying to spend a little more time in the study. He said, well, I guess I need to. He said, you know, it don't take me. He said, I usually preach about a year around, and I just about preach out. You believe that? I just about preach out. Well, he changed church about once a year, so I guess he did. Had to, brother. Isn't that a shame? What he was saying, I run out of anything to preach. I was told one time about an old gentleman, an old preacher. Two young preachers sitting talking one day and discussing things, and one of them said to the other, said, you know, I got to run down to Baptist Bookstore and get me some of those yearly sermon outlines. You could go down to Baptist Bookstore back when I first started, Gary, you could buy your 52 sermon outlines. That gets you around for a year. You can get them for 50 cents. Yeah, that's what Brother Billy Cobb said. He said, that's about what it's worth. 50-cent sermons. Anyway. I think I'll go with you. The old McKenna was sitting there. He didn't say anything. He said, one of them said, Brother Sawyer said, you don't ride down there with us? He said, no, I don't think so. He said, but let me ask you something, boys. Have y'all ever tried that? Yeah. You ever tried that? Yeah. I guarantee you find more than 52 sermons in there. Won't do it. Isn't that the subject? Maybe a bridge that is contracted and partially concealed. Talking about the subject of the whole counsel of God. You don't know about that. This may be the case where it's not expressly denied. But where it is, not entirely rejected, and where the parts admittedly and noticed are not mangled. There's a whole lot in this. Whole counsel. All the counsel of God. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something else here. It requires a firmness withstand and resist the temptations that curtail and separate. To delete this and hold back that. You know, men are guilty of this when they're trying to preach the Word of God. Well, I better leave this off right here. Take that penknife and cut that out. Somebody might get offended if I say that. I better hold off over here. I better just hold this down. Well, God help me, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be cast into the lot of what we read over here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 to 19. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold down the truth, who suppress the truth, who delete here and hold back on this over here because it might be offensive to somebody that they know it might apply to out there in the congregation. Do you think much of that stuff goes on? Every Sunday. Even in the weakest of preaching. It goes on. Yeah. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them or to them. For God has shown it to them, yet they won't preach it. They won't preach it. And sometimes there's temptations arising from such, from preachers themselves. They're a lot like politicians. A lot of preachers are a lot like politicians. You know what a true politician is, don't you? That's the fellow that somebody asks, what do you think about this, Senator? What's your position on this? This issue, that issue. What's your position? Well, he said, some of my constituents are for it and some of my constituents are against it. I'm going to stand with my constituents. That's preachers too. You don't offend nobody if it happens. Well, you know, God's men ought to be clean vessels, and I believe they are God's men. They are vessels. Vessels of God. Vessels of the Lord. But they're not always clean. They're not always clean in their responsibility, as Paul was, to declare the whole counsel of God. And sometimes there's the temptations from the hearers. It presses upon them. It often stimulate the preacher. Because he knows this one or that one or the other is not going to like this if I say it. So he backs off. The fear of man, though, bringeth a snare. Do you know that? After a while, man avoids this, claiming to be a preacher of God. He avoids that. He shuns from preaching this. Paul said, I've not shunned it. He shuns from preaching that because of fear. But after a while, he'll snare himself. The fear of man bringeth a snare. That's the scripture. So the man may shun to declare all the counsel of God. On the side of doctrine, from fear of a change or a charge. Oh, if I preach this, somebody out there is going to charge me with antinomianism. If I preach pure grace, somebody out there is going to say, oh, Worthington, he's an antinomian. He never preaches the law. They do it. I know they do it. I know they do it. And on the side of experience, afraid to be charged with enthusiasm. If you stress, man's got to have an experience. Man's got to have an experience with God Almighty. There's a subjective side of this thing. It's just not dead dry doctrine. Be charged. Why he's leaning toward charismatic. Always a possibility of preaching the whole counsel of God. It gets you in trouble. Somebody's going to take an issue with you. Make charges against you. On the side of practice. Yeah. The side of practice. So you preach doctrine. You preach subjectivism. Experience. You preach practice. And you're going to be charged. What are you going to shun preaching? What's right there before your very eyes? Because somebody's going to charge you with this, that, and that. No, sir. Paul didn't do it. He said, I want you to know I'm taking the record about this thing. Yeah. You preach practice. This fear of being charged with legal or legality. But as difficult as it is, the great apostle to the Gentiles informed the Ephesians that he did, and for all it was worth, declared himself to have preached the whole counsel of God, that he might be free from the blood of all men. That's what I want when I leave this world. I don't want your blood on my head. I'm going to tell you the best I know, everything that I do know that would be profitable unto you.